Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for listening. More than 60 inches of snow has fallen in Juneau during the last 2 weeks, and that's made it harder for people to get to the city's emergency cold weather shelter in Thane. Dave Ringel is executive director at Juneau's St. Vincent de Paul chapter, which operates the shelter. He says the number of people staying there has increased as temperatures have dropped.
We went from averaging 42 to averaging 52 people a night starting January 1st.
A van usually drives downtown throughout the night to pick up people and take them to the shelter. But the snow made that impossible at times.
We've had some nights where the van was unable to be unstuck, and we've had to talk to JPD and the CARE Sleep Off Center, and they've not done it every night, but on nights where it's been really bad, they've been the ones on the lookout. They find people who are unsheltered and find the right places for them.
Some warming shelter guests have continued to walk there. Ringel said St. Vincent de Paul will accept donations of reflective vests and tape at their Teal Street office. Ringel says homeless service providers have been able to connect some people to housing this week, but he says there aren't enough affordable options in Juneau to fully meet the demand. This year's point-in-time count will happen on Tuesday. It's part of a nationwide effort to count the number of people experiencing homelessness and connect them to services. The count will take place at Juneau shelters, including Family Promise, the Glory Hall, and Sheyeh Chat Hit Youth Shelter. Teams will also visit camps to meet people and distribute supplies.
They're going to have backpacks with items contributed from local businesses and from United Way, you know, toiletries and clothing and stuff to provide.
Resurrection Lutheran Church will also host a breakfast on Tuesday morning as part of the count. The Juneau Animal Shelter says a review of its 40-year-old facility found problems that are worsening the physical and psychological health of the animals that stay there. KTOO's Clarice Larson toured the shelter to learn more about these problems and about hopes for a new facility.
A litter of 9 puppies at Juneau Animal Rescue, all named after different Paw Patrol characters, were waiting for their forever homes last week. And they weren't the only ones looking for a new home. The shelter is too. Kevin Ritchie, a member of the shelter's board of directors, says when the current shelter was built back in the 80s, it was designed to warehouse animals, not as a place where they could thrive.
We want animals in the facility to have as many advantages as possible, keeping them safe and calm and happy so they can be, so they can have a good experience while they're here, and they can be the best at their best when people see them to adopt them.
He says the need for a new shelter became more urgent when the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals inspected the facility in 2021. The group said Juneau's shelter had extensive problems and didn't meet national standards. Rick Dristle, JAR's executive director, says the shelter housed more than 420 cats and 360 dogs in the last year alone. It also provided critical medical services like spaying and neutering, and it houses Juneau's animal control services. With limited space for dogs and cats, Driscoll says the shelter often finds itself at or near capacity, especially in the summer months. And if you're not a dog or cat...
We have no housing really for animals that are not a cat or a dog. So we basically use a hallway right now for, you know, birds, hamsters, rabbits, guinea pigs, that sort of thing. And that's a stressful environment for small animals to be in.
He says the building roofs need repairs and parts of the floors are beginning to sink. And the growing number of animals coming into the shelter means less storage space and less separation between types of animals. The board's wish list for a new facility includes a large outdoor area with a roof and better ventilation to reduce the spread of infectious diseases. They also want double-sided cages for easier cleaning. Here's Richie again.
To clean an animal's cage, you literally have to somehow get the animal out of the cage, down the hall, into another cage. And it can be somewhat dangerous and certainly time-consuming.
The estimated cost for a new building is $15 to $20 million for construction, not including the site. The land of the current shelter site was donated, and Richie says they hope that will happen again for the new one, which needs to be at least 2.2 acres.
Using a facility that exists always sounds like a great idea, but basically this would be not on the level of a hospital, but that specialized.
Richie says they plan to fundraise in the coming months and work with the city to find other funding sources. He says the project's timeline will depend on how quickly they can raise the funds. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
An exhibit at the Anchorage Museum spotlighting the history of Filipino Americans in Alaska was defaced last week. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early has more.
MANA, The History We Inherit, is an oral history exhibit that features portraits and biographies of interview subjects, as well as numerous collages featuring photo submissions from community members. Shane Nuesca, one of the creators of MANA, says one of the exhibit's collage contributors noticed Thursday someone had tampered with it.
They noticed right away that there was something different about the display of their late family member's collage. They noticed that it was a sticker. It was a sticker of political and sexual nature.
Nuesca says the community member texted the MANA creative team about the sticker and then told museum officials. She says the MANA team was only told about the incident at noon the next day. In a statement, Anchorage Museum spokeswoman Janet Asaro said there were similar stickers placed on museum furniture, walls, and a large map of Alaska. She said the stickers were removed and did not cause permanent damage. In her statement, Asaro also said that, like other public buildings, the museum has been a victim of similar vandalism in the past. She said, quote, "We do take incidents like these very seriously and remain committed to the protection and integrity of the cultural installations and artworks in our care." But the MANA team is criticizing how well the museum protected its exhibit. Joshua Brandstetter is another creative lead for the project. He says in putting MANA together, the team visited communities from Adak to Juneau and Fairbanks, seeking out contributions to highlight more than 200 years of Filipino history in the state.
We're going to make sure this history is preserved. Your family members, your photos, your items, they're safe with us. We made them that promise. And for us to entrust that to the museum, there was an expectation that this would be treated the same as a pink bear that has a security guard on it.
Ultimately, the MANA team says they hope all exhibits are given equal respect, transparency, and protection from the museum, especially those with strong cultural connections. Tasha Elizarde, another member of the MANA team, says the contributor who reported the sticker regularly visited the exhibit to pay respects to their family member.
This is kind of like the equivalent of going to like the cemetery to visit your grandparent who had passed away and very, very recently, and then seeing that someone had messed with the tombstone.
MANA, The History We Inherit, is set to wrap up its run at the Anchorage Museum on January 28th. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And a disclaimer, Shane Nuesca is a former employee of KTOO, and Tasha Elizarde is a current employee of KTOO. The HBO series True Detective Night Country will feature a fictional town in Alaska called Ennis. While most of the filming was done in Iceland, some scenes were shot around Nome. KNOM's Ava White reports that producers have been in touch with locals to get insights and feedback for the show.
Marjorie Tabone is one of five people on the Inupiaq Advisory Council, which was the team working with the show. She says the producer's goal was to, quote, make the show about a place like Nome.
So they just wanted people who were from up here to help advise the writing and just the whole process.
Tabone says the board reviewed the scripts and shared their concerns with writers about scenes and lines that seemed inaccurate or questionable, and one of those changes was featured in the first episode.
There is a scene in there where the caribou, in the original script it was elk, and then we're like, we have no elk in Alaska, let alone up in the Arctic.
She says the council encouraged producers to include Inupiaq words and learn about the meaning behind traditional Alaska Native stories. Tabone says they even helped choose most of the Inupiaq names for characters in the town. The council also encouraged including trigger warnings for the show because some episodes regard the missing and murdered Indigenous people epidemic.
And we advise about leaving traditional parts in and taking other elements of the story out just to maintain the integrity of the story and kind of keeping it true, but also kind of holding it close, not wanting to give away too much because people who aren't from our area can misunderstand or just have no clue what being said.
Tabone is also a traditional Inuit tattoo artist and helped design some of the tattoos on screen. She says the film is a melting pot of unique cultures and includes people from other Arctic communities, like Greenland and Canada. Tabone says she was glad to be part of the advisory council and to help ensure the content was as accurate and respectful as possible. She says she hopes it can pave the way for more Indigenous people to work in the film industry. The season premiered on January 14th, and new episodes are released weekly. For KNOM, I'm Ava White.
This is KTOO.